When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're not even a week into training camp, and already fans and media members have decided that they know what's wrong with the Giants. Is it the quarterback not being able to complete deep passes? Is it the offensive line and how it's going to be formulated? Is it the defensive backfield? Do they have enough? I know one thing. I'm going to take a little bit of a page from the book of the guy right down the road that plays quarterback, and I'm going to tell Giants fans to R-E-L-A-X. Relax. Training camp is here. Football is back. And guess what? The pads are on. I'm Coach Gene Clemens. I've got a giant issue. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of A Giant Issue. I am Coach Gene Clemens. Thank you for joining me wherever you are joining me, whether it is on the New York Giants on SI YouTube channel or whether or not you are joining us via Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, or wherever you get your DSPs from. Make sure you go ahead and like and subscribe to the channel. We're trying to get to over 2,000 subscribers on the YouTube channel before the first game. And if you're downloading, we appreciate you for downloading that podcast every day. Thank you for following everything that we're doing at A Giant Issue and the Big Blue Breakdown with Paul Dottino. I know he appreciates it, as well. Here's what I've been thinking, right? As we go through training camp, we're asking things of people that we haven't asked. And therefore, we just need a little bit more patience. We need to enjoy the process. And I just don't think we're doing enough of enjoying the process so far. Everything seems to be doom and gloom way too early. Ladies and gentlemen, we still have 5 weeks before we play a game, right? We still have 5 weeks before there's an NFL game played, 5 weeks before the Giants suit them up. We have time. Right? I just want to talk about some of the things that seem to be the hot button topics at training camp right now. The first one, obviously, Daniel Jones. Oh my gosh, he's not hitting the deep ball. He's not hitting the deep ball. He's not hitting the deep ball consistently. Well, you know what he hasn't really been asked to do until this year? Throw the deep ball consistently. He hasn't been forced. I think Brian Daboll taking over the play calling duties makes it feel more urgent for him to let it fly, right? But here's the problem with that. If you haven't been used to throwing the deep ball, then there's a certain feel and there's a certain timing that you won't have. For instance, Tyrod Taylor is one of the best deep ball throwers in the NFL. It's not because he has an arm like Josh Allen, right? It's not because he has an arm like Patrick Mahomes. No, it's because he understands how to anticipate his wide receiver coming open. So if you ever look at when he throws the ball, the wide receiver is not past the defensive back. But he knows that if his fast wide receiver is pushing up on a defensive back that is not already running backwards, then more often than not, that wide receiver is going to pass the defensive back. Where does the defensive back normally make up speed? It's it's because it takes the quarterback too long to throw the ball, and subsequently, there are things that come into play, like these two. Oh, Daniel Jones isn't throwing the ball deep enough. It's not about throwing the ball deep enough. Let's remember two things. Daniel Jones is still coming back off injury, and even though he is full go, you can tell he's not 100%. Like, he's not back to the person he was before the injury. How? Because the deep ball ability to drive the football, that comes from the lower half of the body. You know what he's still not doing? He's still not driving the football. As he gets more comfortable, as he gets more healthy over the next 5 weeks, guess what? He'll probably start doing more. He'll probably start driving the ball further down the field. You know what helps when you can't drive the ball further downfield? Better anticipation, right? So he needs to anticipate the guy being open. He needs to throw the guy open, not wait until he's open and then throw it. He needs to throw him open. So that's going to help him. Another thing is anticipation is not something that comes like overnight. You can't just say, hey, anticipate that better. No. And as a result, you actually see sometimes where he overthrows the receiver. There are times where he overthrows the receiver. There are times where he underthrows the receiver. When he overthrows the receiver, that's because he let it go too early. When he underthrows the receiver, it's more than likely because he lets it go too late. But we can't sit here and act as if Daniel Jones has not completed passes downfield where guys were able to catch it and do work. We've seen it happen. But it's not going to be consistent, not right now, because he's still figuring it out. And I know what you're thinking, because I think it too. Oh my gosh, why is he still figuring it out in year six? Because he hasn't been asked to do that. Don't blame him. Right? If he's been in risk-averse offenses all this time, why are you blaming him for being risk-averse? It's been bred into his head. Even if we're being honest, 2022, that offense was risk-averse. 2023, hard to tell. He got injured. There was a lot of injuries going on. Throw the baby out with the bathwater. But in 2022, that was a risk-averse offense. That wasn't a drive the ball down the field offense, right? I think they wanted to be more drive the ball down the field offense in 2023, but injuries happened. And by the time he had the opportunity to try to make the changes, his season was over, right? So that happens. That's a thing. And it's not Daniel Jones' fault. And I can't believe you guys have me out here defending Daniel Jones, knowing that I have been the one for years that have said, hey, it might be time to move on from Daniel Jones. But I really do believe in giving people the opportunity we're asking for. So, Giants fans, you wanted him to take more shots down the field. Is it fair to say that he's taking more shots down the field? Absolutely. Are you happy with the results when he's taking more shots down the field? That's the question. Because if you're not going to allow him to grow and get better at throwing the ball down the field, then you're actually your own worst enemy, right? If you say, hey, I want you to throw the ball down the field, but I want it to be perfect every time, guess what? That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. If you're saying, hey, I want to see you push it downfield, he's pushing it more downfield. Relax and enjoy the fact that he's pushing the ball more downfield. And once you've seen that for a week, maybe two, now you can start to go, okay, well, we probably should be completing a little bit more of these if he's still selling them or underthrowing them. But you can't just be like, oh my gosh, it's awful. You can't do it. He's only been doing it for 4 days. Hey, not for nothing, in OTAs, who was taking the first team reps? It wasn't Daniel Jones, right? That means that right now is his time to get used to doing this, right? He has to get used to throwing the ball this way. He has to get used to pushing it, to driving it, to trusting his wide receivers to come up with a play if and when it becomes a 50-50 ball. Right? I mean, it just only seems right. Actually, sidebar, I was thinking about this, right? I saw a report a couple days ago that talked about how Tommy DeVito said that he didn't know if it was a smart move for the Giants to waive him because he might not be there for the practice squad. And let me just tell you, Tommy DeVito, if they do waive you, you should pray that nobody claims you off waivers. Because if somebody claims you off waivers, right, you're going to be cut because nobody is keeping three quarterbacks on their roster, and you, my guy, are not ready to be the if-then statement as a backup quarterback. For all of the good that he did as a rookie, there was a lot of bad. So you know what Tommy DeVito's best move to make? And this is where you have to be thinking beyond this year, right? You got to be thinking long-term if you're an NFL backup quarterback. Your best bet is to get waived. If you get waived, go through waivers, re-sign on the practice squad with the Giants, and sit there. And even if you don't get activated all season, you know what you're doing? You've got another year in that Brian Daboll offense. Right? Another year. Guess what's going to happen at the end of the year? The backup quarterback is going somewhere else. The starting quarterback is most likely going to be gone. And if he's not gone, then he's 1 year away from being gone. When they draft a rookie quarterback to come in, they're going to need someone who knows the offense to mentor that rookie quarterback. Guess who it is? It's you. But now you're ready to be the number two, right? You're ready to be the if-then statement. And if for some reason after that, Brian Daboll is no longer the head coach for the Giants and he goes to be an offensive coordinator or gets another head coaching job, guess who he's going to reach out to in order to come in and have a quarterback room with someone who understands and knows his offense? Guess what? It's going to be you, Tommy DeVito. And now you're what could have been just a one-year career turns into a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year career vested, good for the rest of your life. Sometimes we've got to be smart enough to know that betting on ourselves doesn't mean going somewhere else. Betting on ourselves means staying on 16, not hitting 16. It means staying on 16 and watching how everything else plays out. That's just my Tommy DeVito. That's free game, my guy. Free game. Your agent's not going to tell you this. I promise you. One of the other things that I've seen going on is the talk about the offensive line, and more specifically, Evan Neal, and whether he's going to be out there and whether he should be out there and if he is out there or whether it should be an open contest between Illuminor and Neal. Here's what I'll tell you. Illuminor was brought here to be not to be a tackle. He was brought here to be a guard. Why? Because they want better pass blocking up the middle. Everybody who watches film agrees, right? At least if they don't, then that's a whole nother thing. But everyone who watches film should agree that it was really, really bad up the middle. How do you help your second-year center? Bring in two guards that can pass block. How do you help your third-year tackle? Put a guard next to him that's good at pass blocking. Because contrary to what a lot of you believe or what a lot of people will lead you to believe, Evan Neal was not awful last year. He had awful moments and he got injured. That's it. Did it always look the greatest? No, but it was effective more often than it was not effective, because if it wasn't, then he would have given up more sacks. Right? He would have given up more sacks if it was not as bad. I've done video breakdowns on him versus Max Crosby during the Raiders game. I've done video breakdowns on him versus Nick Bosa during the 49ers game. Go back and look at how many sacks were given up by him in those games. Matter of fact, go back and look at how many sacks were given up, period. So just because he's not participating doesn't mean that he's not getting better. And not for nothing, we saw yesterday during the first day of pads that they have a succession in place. Jermaine Illuminor, who was back from his little quick injury, he's at right tackle, right? That's the only move they made. Aaron Stinney came in at left guard. And Aaron Stinney has legitimate starting experience for a playoff Super Bowl caliber team. So now Stinney comes in at left guard. Illuminor goes to right tackle. Everything else stays the same. Hey, here's what was even more fun. John Michael Smits was out. And instead of having to move a bunch of people around, they just brought in the backup center. How refreshing is that for the guard to not have to move to center and then someone come in for the guard and that guard have to, and then somebody else have to go to, how great was it to see a legitimate backup for the center? What looks like a legitimate backup for both guards in Aaron Stinney, and the backup for the tackle on the right side in Jermaine Illuminor. And not for nothing, if when Illuminor went down, they were already ready with Joshua Azudu, who is backing up the left tackle right now. Boom. You wanted a succession in place, you got a succession in place.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But you know what you're not going to get? You know what you're not going to get? You're not going to get a competition at right tackle. And here's why it makes no sense to have a competition at right tackle. Because we know Jermaine Illuminor can be a decent right tackle already. He needs to learn left guard. He needs to be competent as a left guard. Because when Evan Neal is healthy and back, he's going back to left guard. Evan Neal's not going to left guard. Evan Neal said he plays right tackle. The head coach says he plays right tackle. The GM says he plays right tackle. The offensive line coach is excited to work with him as a right tackle. Guess what he's going to play? Right tackle. Can we please relax on the Evan Neal slander? I get it. He called you all cooks. When I had Hefe on from New York Revival, he talked about he's probably never going to get over that, and he doesn't. But if you are a Giants fan, what are you more trying to do? Are you hoping to hate on him and see him fail so that now you can go, ha-ha, the last laugh's on you? Or do you want a competent and really good offensive line with a right tackle that you've already invested a high draft pick in? Which one is more important to you, winning or being competitive or seeing him fail? And if seeing him fail is more important to you, then your priorities are all jacked up. All jacked up. But it's a big storyline right now. It's a big storyline. And by the way, while I'm going through these storylines, shout out to Darren Beavers, who's been playing his butt off at the beginning of this training camp. You can tell he has some of that spring, some of that burst, some of that explosion that he had as a rookie back, because now he's 2 years removed, right? Last year was his first year back from a knee injury. When you're that big, sometimes it takes a little bit longer for the explosion to come back. I think that's what Daniel Jones is happening right now. I don't think we're going to see the best of Daniel Jones as an explosive runner until probably midway through the season. Maybe even more, right? Maybe even more. But shout out to Beavers and making it difficult on this defensive staff, saying, hey, don't forget that before I was injured, Micah McFadden was going to be my backup. And guess what? I'm healthy again. I like that. And not for nothing, if Beavers is healthy and he's able-bodied, he is a force inside. He is a load inside. He's way bigger than any other linebacker that we have, right? Isaiah Simmons included. If he's healthy and he's ready to go, and now you've got three on the inside with Isaiah Simmons doing his roam all over the place thing, that's a great thing for the defense. Not enough people are talking about it, but Darian Beavers is having himself a camp so far. Now, the pads just came on yesterday, so we're going to temper. I'm going to tell myself to relax, right? But I am enjoying watching them. I'm enjoying watching it. You know what else I'm enjoying watching? I'm enjoying watching this wide receiver core because there's so much speed on the field for these wide receivers. But of course, because this is what we do, right? The wide receivers are balling out. And so because the wide receivers are balling out, we're now asking the question, hey, what's wrong with our defensive backs? How about nothing? What if there's nothing wrong with the defensive backs? What if they're just this good at the wide receiver position and there have been no pads on until yesterday? And then all of a sudden, yesterday, when many will tell you, oh, they focused more on running the ball because there were pads on, right? The truth is there were still shots, there were still chances to take. And guess what? Them wide receivers were covered today. They recovered today. Why? Because there's a little bit more in stake right now. You got to have a little bit more at stake. There's physicality now, right? Put the 7-on-7 tape away. Put the 7-on-7 tape away. Put the non-padded stuff away. When the pads come on, that's when it gets real. And so the defensive backs had the opportunity to strike back today. But make no mistake about it, some of these defensive backs have already proven that they can hang with the best of the best wide receivers in the game. Deontay Banks was checking really good wide receivers last year. Cordell Flott was checking really good wide receivers last year. That's not abnormal, the safeties. A lot of them are going to have to figure it out, right? This is a different defense. And what happens in a different defense? Everybody has to figure out how it goes. So I don't understand when you say, hey, we want to upgrade the wide receiving core. We want it to be better. And then the moment you upgrade them and they start to get an upper hand on the DBs in certain drills, you immediately go, oh, we should be concerned about our DBs. Why? Don't they get a chance to adjust to all of this new talent too? If we get to 2-3 weeks in, if we're going through joint practices and they're getting cooked in joint practices, right? If they're getting cooked in joint practices, if they're not holding up in joint practices, in preseason games, in their own practices, if we're 3-4 weeks in and this is a problem, then guess what they're most likely going to do? They're most likely going to sign a veteran cornerback. But will that satisfy you? No. Here's what you'll say. Why didn't they do that back at the beginning of training camp? Because they're trying to give the young talent that they've invested all of this draft capital, they're trying to give that young talent a chance to mature and grow, right? That takes time. That takes patience. Shouldn't you fans just be out here enjoying the fact that wide receivers are winning? I know I am. I'm just back here enjoying the fact that Malik Nabers is winning. But here's the problem. We keep seeing only the highlights. So that's making a lot of you that are looking on social media or in the news for your updates, all you're seeing is the highlights. And most highlights are going to be offensive highlights. Guess who posts the picture when nobody catches the ball because it was just a good defended ball? Nobody. Nobody posts that. No one says, hey, here's a great job of coverage by Deontay Banks. You think that every single time they go against each other, that Malik Nabers is just beating Deontay Banks? No. It just feels like it. It feels like it. Why? Because every time you see a clip, the clip is of Malik Nabers cooking Deontay. And not for nothing, even on a lot of those passes where he beats Deontay Banks is in perfect position. It's just a really well thrown ball, or it's a fantastic play made by the receiver. But not everybody has a Malik Nabers. I know we all think they do, but everybody has a Malik Nabers. And again, Malik Nabers doesn't win every time. And what changes when all of a sudden there's a pass rush? By the way, Kayvon Thibodeau, unblockable today. Well, unblockable yesterday, excuse me. Kayvon Thibodeau was unblockable yesterday. He was winning the one-on-ones. Right? Brian Burns was given the offensive tackles all they could handle in one-on-ones. You don't think they're going to be a problem for these offensive tackles on other teams? How long is the quarterback going to have to throw the ball? When those two boys and Big Dexy go hunting in a real game? Like, how long are they going to have to just sit back there and wait for the receiver to get open? They're going to have to throw it quick. They're going to have to throw it early. They might not be as accurate. They may not have been able to set their feet. They may not be able to throw off the platform that they wanted to throw off of. Now that ball is errant. And if you're close, now you make a play. That's what these defensive backs are trying to do, but it takes time. Cordell Flott just came from the slot back outside. Give him time. Relax. Enjoy. Why not? What do you have to lose by just enjoying what you're seeing? Because One thing's for certain, two things for sure. If the wide receivers are beating the Giants' defensive backs, then those wide receivers are going to beat other people's defensive backs. Ain't nobody out here running around with a bunch of Deion Sanders and Daryl Greens and Daryl Revis's, Champ Bailey's, Ty Law's. Like, there's not a bunch of teams out here with a bunch of really good corners. Is Philadelphia's defensive backs, are they that good? I'm asking. They just moved James Bradbury from corner to safety. James Bradbury, a 2022 All-Pro, second team, I believe. After 1 year, 1 year removed from that, they moved him to safety. How good are their corners for real? How good are the corners for Dallas? Every time I look up, Dallas is giving up a bunch of points too. It ain't all on the run. It ain't all on the ground. How good are the cornerbacks for Washington? That's, ladies and gentlemen, that's six games. If they're beating the Giants' defensive backs, then these wide receivers are going to beat other teams' defensive backs. Doesn't that excite you? Or the only thing that you're going to think about is the fact that, oh man, what's wrong with our DBs? That's such a pessimistic view. Hey, I get it. Y'all are New Yorkers. You have a reputation to uphold. Let's just enjoy the fact that these wide receivers are cooking. And let's hope that they continue to cook as the pads continue to come on. Like, we know that training camp isn't what it used to be. We don't get pads on every day, right? We don't get pads on every day. We don't get to see them hit. We don't get to see real physicality. But when we do, we want to see the Giants ball out. And I want to see these wide receivers, like, lighten up the scoreboard. I want to see them streaking down the field. And I want to see our defensive backs running step for step with them, making it hard for the quarterback to complete passes. And then I want to see the wide receivers make the play. Right? That's what I, after all that, I want to see them make the play. And that's the difference. Ladies and gentlemen, the pads are on. The pads are on. It was a great first day in pads yesterday. We saw some popping. We saw some guys making plays. We saw running backs and how the running backs might get used. Hey, you ain't here for me, but it's going to be some wide receiver. I mean, it's going to be some running backs that you don't expect end up being the guy that's getting a lot of reps because they bring things to the table that other people don't bring to the table. Right? That Miller, man. That dude has a different type of gear. And he is going to be a problem out the backfield. And if he happens to get the ball and hit a seam, find a lane that he can explode through, whoo, you got to watch out. Because he is a home run. He's a home run waiting to happen every single time he touches the football. How awesome is it to say that you have several guys that can be home run hitters all over the field? Why y'all worried about the corners? Just enjoy one thing, right? If the defensive ends are outside linebackers, whatever you want to call Thibodeau and Burns, right? If they're out there wreaking havoc, are you going to complain about the tackles or are you going to say, hey, our tackles can't block them. Nobody's tackle is going to be able to block them. Right? Right? Hey, it's a celebration, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to relax, sit back, and enjoy the next few weeks of preparation for the games. And then once we start seeing games, then you can put a little bit more stress in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time I have today for a giant issue. I am Coach Gene Clemens. Make sure that you go and subscribe to the New York Giants on SI YouTube channel and make sure that you check out all of the content that we're dropping over at New York Giants on SI. All of your Giants needs, all of your Giants information. I've got a bunch of good, great, and uglies that are rolling out over there. Make sure that you see them up until the end of the month. All of those GGUs that I've done up until now. Always enjoy it. Always appreciate it. Make sure that you follow me at Gene Clemens anywhere or at Coach Gene Clemens in a very, very small select places. But on X and Instagram and all the places like that, it's at Gene Clemens. Until next time or until tomorrow, I'm Coach Gene Clemens, and I have a giant issue.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.